You're going to hear this message today, and you're going to think Doug and I sat down over the week sometime and orchestrated. Wow, am I? Okay. Orchestrated what I was going to say today, really. Because the songs that they chose, I believe under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, fit like a glove. Doug and Megan get together every Tuesday night. If you're on Facebook, you see. You see the pictures. The Holy Spirit directed them what to sing today. There's no doubt in my mind because it fits perfectly with what I'm going to be talking about today. God is so powerful that way. I almost like it better that we don't sit down and talk about it, because when it fits like that, it's an obvious sign to us that God has planned it all. We're continuing our series this month on why do church. Most of us have an understanding that we are the church. We don't have to go to church. We are the church. But this whole month we're talking about what are the benefits of doing church, of going to church, of coming together in one place and focusing together on God and learning more about Him and doing life together. What's the benefit of that? And so I want to jump right in. The message today, I had planned on calling it Mirrors weeks ago when we did the titles. And as I studied and prayed, I felt like God said, put an and more in there. So I'll tell you about the and more. But today we're calling it Mirrors and More. And the first point I want to dive right into, point number one, if you want to follow along, there's a note page in your program. All the answers will be up on the screen, which makes it easy. Point number one, our destiny is to see and reflect the glory of God. Our destiny is to see and reflect the glory of God. We see that in 2 Corinthians 3:18. I'm really excited about sharing this with you today because God is really, you know, burning it in my heart, in my soul. He's really burning it, like that song. So all of us who have had that veil removed, it's referring to, in the verses previous to that, it's referring to the veil that Moses had over his face when he went up and met with God, and how there was so much light shining from his face, he would have to have a veil over his face so that the people, you know, wouldn't be blinded by the light. Blinded by the light. Yeah. So the people wouldn't be blinded by the light. But he says now that veil has been removed from us. We don't have to have that veil in front of us. We can see full on the glory of God. But I love that it says that we can see and reflect the glory of God. That's where the mirror comes in. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. Wow. Okay, so I looked up the word glory in the original Greek, because I had done a study, if you remember, a few months back on the glory, the word glory in the Old Testament. And I'd learned a lot about that. But then when I was studying this week, and it was so funny, because God had given me all three verses that I'm going to be sharing, all three passages that I'm going to be sharing with you today. And I did not see until after I started studying that all three passages had the word glory in it multiple times. So after I started studying and reading, it was like God said, hello, see the repeated word? That's what I want you to focus on, right? So I focused on the word glory, looked up the original Greek word. The original Greek word is doxa, D-O-X-A, doxa. Here's what it means. I thought it would mean radiant light. I thought it would mean magnificence. I mean, I didn't know, right? You know what it means? It means opinion, reputation, or view. That's what I said. What? Wow. Glory means opinion, reputation, or view. And that just got my brain. Because I realized in that moment, the reason this verse says that we can see and reflect the glory of God is because whatever we see, our opinion of God, our view of God will automatically be reflected to others. Ah, do you see how powerful that is? Okay, let me illustrate it this way. You know me, I love props. Daniel, you thought I was going to bring you up, didn't you? You had that look of a panic, just a little bit of panic on your face, like, why is she coming my direction? No worries. I don't know how many of you married couples have heard this, but years ago I heard that when you're married, that the way you see yourself is very frequently the way your spouse sees you. Because the way you see yourself is reflected back to you in their eyes. Okay? Does that make sense? Now keep that in mind and then look at this. So if I see God, what's a negative word associated with God? Call it out. A negative word, huh? Judging. Write that on my mirror, please. Judgmental, J-U-D-G-I-N-G. Judging. Okay? What's another negative word associated with God? Thank you, angry. Write that on my mirror. Angry. Boy, do I have a story for you about that in a little while. Unbelievable. It's another Walmart story. I don't know. Walmart, something happens at Walmart for me. I'm a magnet. Yeah. I don't know. What's another negative word associated with God?
Lying.
Not caring. Okay. Not caring. Wow. Okay. Jack said lying. Right? Lying. Vengeful. Mm-hmm. That's another good one too. Huh? I didn't hear.
Y-I-N-G.
Oh, sorry. Okay, Jan, you want to write vengeful on there? I'll stick it in there for you. Come down to the bottom. Yeah, there you go. Okay. Stick that on there, Jack. Whoops, here, how about you do it? Because it might be, there we go. We could go on, but we'll stop there for now. So if I see God as judging, angry, not caring, lying, and vengeful, that is what I'm going to reflect about God. So every time somebody looks at me, they're going to see judging, angry, vengeful, reflected back to them. And I could take it a step further and say that's how I'm going to see them too. That's how I'm going to see them. If that's how I see God, that's what's going to be reflected back. My opinion, my view of God, I'm going to see that view of God and it's going to be reflected off of me back to others. Now, what happens if, don't you love dry erase? What happens if we see God more like the God we sang about today? Now, tell us something good about God. Ken?
He's giving.
Giving. Giving. Where? Loving? Somebody said loving. Okay, how about, can you write it on for us? Mm-hmm. Loving, just to take turns. Loving? Huh? More giving.
Forgiving.
Oh, forgiving. Oh, yeah, and more giving, too. Forgiving. Forgiving. Colleen, didn't you say joyful? I heard you say joyful. Can you maybe... Huh? Joyful. Oh, yeah. Let's put it on there. Joyful. Oh, Stephanie has to put a little heart above the eye on forgiving. I love it. Okay. I love it. I mean, we could fill up this whole mirror. Kind. Patient. It would take too long to fill it all up. Merciful. If I see God this way, when people look at themselves, you know what they're going to see? Loving, forgiving, joyful, merciful, kind, compassionate. I'll take it a step further and say, what I see, I will be. What I see, I will be. Now, it may take a process, make us more and more like him. You know, it's obviously a process. It's not an instant overnight thing. But if I see him as loving and patient and kind and forgiving, I am going to become more patient and kind and loving and forgiving. That's what I see, I will be. What I see in him, I will be. So then point number two, what does glory look like? What does our view of him look like? What should it look like? What should it look like? Dave and Rhonda both referred to this verse, not knowing I was going to use it today. Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. I want you to look at all the things that it says about God in this passage. Look for all the things it says about God. You ready? When I think of this, of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home. I love that. Set up camp. He will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's anger. Oh no, wait. Your roots will grow down into God's love. Much, much more. Much more. Yep. And keep you strong, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide and how long and how high and how deep his love really is. We're totally surrounded by it. It's above us, it's before us, it's behind us, it's all around us. It's beneath us, it's everywhere. Oh my goodness, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. There's that word again now. All glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Much, much more. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And everybody said, amen. May it be, Lord. May it be. Oh, I want us to be conduits, transponders of his love, of his goodness, of his mercy. Some of the things I saw in that passage, just four things that I saw that we should be seeing and then being. A, unlimited resources. Unlimited resources. Becky and Willie yesterday got a bottomless diaper gift card, right? But it really wasn't bottomless, but it was a lot of, it was like $200 or something for diapers, which is cool. That's great. But there is a bottom to it, right? There is no bottom to God's resources. There is no limit to it. It is without limit. Well, you don't know what I'm going through, Pastor Sandy. It doesn't matter. I can promise you, I have seen a lot, and I have been through a lot myself. There is no limit to his resources. None. What you need, he will be. What you need, he will provide. Point B, power. Man, how many movies out right now are about power? Power to do this and power to do that. There is a hunger and a thirst for power in this world. There always has been, there always will be. Well, the source of all power is God. All good power. Point C, wide, long, high, deep love. We talked about that already. And then D, completeness, fullness. Don't ever say to the person you're in love with, you complete me. That is a great line from a movie, but that's about all. Because you know what? The only one who truly completes you is God. Now, if you're in love with somebody, more power to you. That's fantastic. Celebrate it. It's a gift from God. But never forget, he is the one who completes you. It's not another human being who completes you. God completes you. God does. So my Walmart story, you've been wondering about it, haven't you? I don't know why this always happens to me. I mean, I really do like shopping there, so don't slam Walmart around me, because I like shopping there. I get good deals, and I like good deals. But I go and buy some groceries last week. I think it was last Thursday or Friday. And I get up to the line. It was one of those really cold, snowy days. Oh, wait, that's been the last 6 months. So anyway, so what do you talk about with the cashier when you're, you know, you don't know the person? Nice elderly lady, super nice. We started talking about the weather. Ooh, it's cold out there. It's snowing. And I go, wow, it's been a rough winter, has it? You know what she said? Blew me away. She goes, it's because God's angry. And my first thought was, I don't think so. But I felt like God said, shh, just let her talk. So I said, you think so? She goes, oh, I know so. He's angry. Now, this does not compute for me. Because this is not my view of God. This is not my reputation of God. For me, God is the warm fire on a winter night. He is not the winter night. There's a big difference. For me, he's the blankie, the soft blankie I wrap up in every single night. You know? He's not the cold, dark, dreary, sub-zero night. She was totally convinced. She went on to say, don't you hear what's been happening in the world? Don't you know how bad it is? He's mad at us. And that's why he's given us this long, hard winter. Huh. And then she went on to tell me how she goes to church every Sunday that she's not working. And her church is filled with strife. Like it's strife. One argument after another. Gossiping. People borrowing money from other people and not paying them back. And I mean, I was like, just let me out of here, God, please. Why do you do this to me? Really. I'm trying to reflect the right stuff and it's just getting deflected every time. You know. It made me sad though. Because that was her true view of God. Where do we get that from? I did a little research this week. I looked up the words angry and anger after Jesus came in the Bible. Then I looked up the words love and compassion after Jesus came. Do you know what the percentage is? This is interesting. About 4% of the time that God talks about anger in the New Testament, he talks about his love and compassion. Now, I could go further. Let's look up love, compassion, kindness, gracious, forgiving. And then it's going to just diminish greatly that percentage of the word anger. Now, why am I pointing that out? Because those should be our percentages too. If you feel the need to talk about an angry God, then just make sure it's only 4% or less of the amount of time you're talking about his goodness and his kindness and his love and his mercy. Oh my goodness, we have to see God accurately if we're going to reflect him accurately. It's not the anger of the Lord that brings people to repentance. It is the kindness of our Lord that brings people to repentance. Oh my goodness, we got to get it straight. And then in John 17, 22 through 24, you can tell I'm really passionate about this. This is Jesus himself talking. He's talking about his disciples and all of the other disciples who would ever come. That's us, you and me, baby. That's us in there. He says, I have given them, us, the glory, the image, the reputation, the view that you gave me. So they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Wow, did you get that? God loves you as much as he loves Jesus. Just chew on that for, I don't know, the next couple of years. Whew. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory, the reputation, the view that you gave me because you love me even before the world began. Oh, wow. God wants us. Jesus is praying for us to get an accurate view of our Father so that we can have perfect unity. Now, some of you may be saying, well, this is a great message, Sandy, but what does this have to do with why do church? I can do this at home. You know what? I think the church is the place where we learn best how to reflect God accurately to each other. I have an easier time reflecting God accurately to some stranger on the street than I do with somebody I know, all their weaknesses and all their idiosyncrasies and all their personality quirks. You see, this is where it gets a little down and dirty and messy in here. If you're in relationship with people, if you truly are doing life with them, if you're doing connect groups with them, if you're going out to dinner, you get to know them. You know their weaknesses, you know their strengths. It's hard to reflect God back accurately to someone who's just gotten on your last nerve. I think family and the church are the two places where that is tested more than any other place. How many of you find it easier to be nice to your, to some stranger, to a cashier, than your kids? Why is that? Because we know each other's all of our stuff. And we want to filter everything, and we can't. We have to be intentional about reflecting God accurately to each other, too. What do we see in this passage? We see unity. Wow, unity. And then we see more love. More love from God to us, from us to God, from us to each other, and from us to the world. Unity and more love, not judgmentalism, not that, but be careful. I've heard people say, well, she is so judgmental. Don't you think that's a judgmental statement to make? So if you're ever accusing someone of being judgmental, you're having to judge them to make that decision that they're judgmental. I could tell you how many times God tested this in me this week. Oh my, isn't it true, Dave? He has to do it to you before he can do it through you. It is not comfortable sometimes. I kept talking with people and God would hear in my head, what are you reflecting about me? What are you reflecting right now about me? But it wasn't harsh and you know, and angry and punishing. It was gentle. You see, God corrects me because he loves me. But he wants me to see who he really is so that I can be more and more like him. What I see, I will be. What I see, I will be. If I see him as angry, I'm going to be angry. Point three, it's not over yet. Here's the "and more" part. I am a mirror, but I am also more. I love this verse, and it's very familiar to most of you. Matthew 5, 14 through 16 says, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. When people see my good deeds, which become like a light, they will actually praise God because of me." Ah, what a cool thing. I get to be a mirror, but I also get to be a light. I recently heard Bill Johnson say, in this passage, he summed it up this way. He goes, "Jesus said, tag, you're it. You're the light of the world." Isn't that a fun image? Tag, you're it. You're the light of the world. You get to be the light of the world. It's Jesus in you, obviously. But you get to be a light. That's why I never understand, like the cashier at Walmart, she wanted to talk about the darkness. She wanted to curse the darkness. You don't have to. You don't have to curse darkness. Turn the light on. It's very simple. I mean, how ridiculous would it be if I walked into my bedroom at night and I was stumbling over the bed and over the shelf and over whatever might be on the floor, a cat. I have two cats. I mean, how ridiculous would it be for me to do that and go, "It's so dark in here. This is making me mad. Why is it so dark in here?" Flick. Not hard. Even if the power's out, I have a camping lantern I can light pretty easily. Just light. Tag, you're it. Be the light of the world. How can you be the light of the world? By seeing God accurately. By seeing him for who he is. By focusing on the 96%. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying disregard the 4%. I'm saying keep it in balance. Keep it in view. Look at the whole picture. We have so long focused on that little percentage that talks about his anger that we've lost sight of the rest. God, help us. Help us, Lord. Help us to see you as you are. Thank you for sending your son that makes it possible for the punishment to be done, for the anger to be done. Thank you, God, for your love and your patience and your compassion and your goodness. You are all powerful. You are all knowing, and you are always good. 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 God, help us to see your goodness so we can be your goodness. Amen. Amen. When we were in youth ministry, we played this game called tag. I can't remember. There was a certain kind of tag. But the tag was like this. If I was it and I tagged Ken, I didn't stop being it. We were both it. Right? Is that called one tag, one tag? And then whoever Ken tagged was also it, and whoever I tagged was also it. Well, obviously, at that time we had a youth group of about 100 kids. Pretty quickly, everybody was it. We were all running around like maniacs. That's called getting their energy out. You know, plain and simple. You know what I see for us being the light? That. One tag, one tag. Tag, you're it. but I'm still it. Tag, you're it, but I'm still it. Tag, you're it. And everybody else you touch, tag, you're it. That's what it's supposed to look like. That's what it's supposed to be. So God, help us to do it. Amen.